Hello, my name is Floyd Maxwell, justthinkit.com. This video is called Consequences of a Spring and Loop Theory. A year ago I conceived of and published a Spring and Loop Theory. The Spring and Loop Theory is a new model of how to look at physics and how to look at the big picture and the small picture. And the cool thing about a good model is it can do a lot of different things. And so this is one of those things that this model can do, is it can come up with new thoughts, new realizations, and basically corrections in how we look at things. Speed of light is something that we all know about. Probably many of us have an idea how fast it is, and it's part of the vernacular, it's part of our thinking, our awareness. But like gravity, we have no idea what it is. What is that speed? I mean, we can define it, we can measure it, but what is the origin of it? Why is there a speed limit? And why does it change in different media, etc.? So that's what this video is about, is using spring and loop theory to look at the speed of light. Spring and loop theory was conceived because the existing theories of physics, they don't work. They're deficient. They conflict with each other. Each of them has such massive flaws and obvious problems, yet each theory is given such a favorable light. And then they mention the massive problems, and whether it's string theory or quantum mechanics or relativity, they're all deficient. So the original paper on spring and loop theory was announced on January the 1st, 2013, and it's proven to be a simplification and a useful model of how things really work at the lowest levels. Atlas said that all he needed was a big enough lever, a suitable place to stand, and he can move the world. Physicists would say that all they need is a sufficiently unified and consistent theory, and they can describe how the universe works. Well, spring and loop theory is that theory. And as time goes by, it continues to illuminate. So, what is the speed of light? In my original paper, Spring and Loop Theory, I made the point that no one knows what it is. What we don't know about the speed of light could fill a book. For example, why is there a limit in the first place? Why is the limit 186,000 miles per second and not some other figure? Why does it vary with each medium that the light travels through? And why is there that famous equation where energy is related to mass by times the speed of light squared? Why is the speed of light involved there? Why is light bent by gravity? And how do we know that if we are riding on a beam of light, all the photons coming towards us would appear to be traveling at the speed of light, as we are adamantly taught? How do we know this? But most basically of all, what exactly is the speed of light? Spring and loop theory in a nutshell. Spring and loop theory says that the entire universe is filled with ultra-high energy springs, and that mass is a special form of that energy, one that is stabilized into an enclosed loop. The vibrations of atoms are what happens when these ultra-high energy springs become bound to lower energy loops. Think of it as a rambunctious child holding onto a calm parental hand. The four forces are all unified in this model. Strong force is that basic spring loop bond, the motherly child bond. The weak force is that strong bond letting go, causing the spring to thrash around violently until it recombines in some way. The electromagnetic force is the basic spring-spring interaction, propagating every possible type of particle and exchange. Gravity, the subtle yet pervasive child of the other three forces, is the effect on the universal matrix of springs when a loop is introduced. When you clamp part of a fishnet, you create a small effect felt everywhere in that net. And so, the speed of light is the propagation time through the universal matrix of springs. When you hit a spring, it bumps against its neighbor. That neighbor bumps against their neighbor, and so on. There's a time taken for each interaction, and a distance, the size of each spring. Distance divided by time equals velocity. The speed of sound is how fast bumps can be transmitted in a spring loop system, a system of matter particles within the universal matrix. No matter particles, no sound transference. In a completely analogous way, the speed of light is how fast bumps can be transmitted in a spring-spring system, i.e. the universal matrix itself. No spring-spring interaction, no light transference. Consequences. Good models allow predictions. Spring and loop theory allows predictions about the speed of light. After a year of working with spring and loop theory, I realized that the speed of light is not constant, but is decreasing with time. Now, there is a precedent for this. When light travels through different materials, the speed decreases to one extent or another relative to the speed in a, quote, vacuum, quote. So what causes light to slow down in a material? A car in traffic will move slower than one on a deserted interstate highway. Easy enough to imagine. But what else could cause a car to go slower? Cheap gasoline could do it, as could an aging engine. Spring and loop theory says the universe is one big mass of energy, quantized into something most easily visualized as springs. But the universe is expanding. The hot air balloon is getting bigger. What happens to the temperature of the air in the balloon as the balloon diameter expands? It must decrease, all other things being equal. So, space is getting cooler. Note that, while true, we're not referring to the 2.7 degree cosmic microwave background temperature. The CMB is the viscosity of water measured by a fish. Spring and loop theory says the fundamental energy within a spring is decreasing with time. The speed of light is the spring-to-spring bump speed, and so the speed of light must also be decreasing with time. Testability. One of the absurdly limiting notions in physics these days is that if something is not testable, it is not science. A better approach would be to continuously ask of any theory, yes, but where does it lead us? And only when it points us toward the wall of infinite probabilities or across the undefined bridge of dividing by zero should we then say, no thanks, I'll try another route. Instead of mathematical absurdities, spring and loop theory has reached testability, the scientific gated community. Calculating how much the speed of light is slowing down is routine once we make a few assumptions and define our basis of calculation. Calculations. Assumption number one, the speed of propagation is related to the distance traveled. Basis. A molecule of air inside a hot air balloon of diameter D traveling from one side of the balloon to the other as the balloon is heated. Let V be the velocity of the air molecule in balloons per second. Let D be the change in diameter in 1 second. Solving. As the balloon expands, the air within it must cool, slowing the velocity of a given molecule of air, and yet increasing the distance it has to travel to go from one side to the other. Assumption number two. The change in spring energy is so small relative to the expansion of space that it can be assumed to be zero. Every second the air molecule's speed slows down by d over little d plus big D times the velocity. Equation 1a. Now let d be a distance of 1 megaparsec and v be the speed of light. As to big D, Wikipedia says space is expanding at a rate of 46.2 plus or minus 1.3 miles per second per megaparsec. Megaparsec is 3.26 million light years. Light year is about 6 trillion miles. So 1 megaparsec is about 19 times 10 to the 18 miles. Expansion rate is 46 miles per second. Speed of light, 186,000 miles per second. So light bounces must travel an extra 46 miles over a distance of 19 times 10 to the 18 miles every second. And so we get to equation 1b. Each second, the speed of light slows down by 19 times 10 to the 18 over 19 times 10 to the 18 plus 46, all times the speed of light, 186,000 miles per second. When that fraction becomes 1/2, the speed of light will be 1/2. To make the fractional portion equal to 1/2, the expansion amount must equal 1 megaparsec. In other words, when space has gone from 1 megaparsec to 2 megaparsecs by expansion, the speed of light will be half. Assumption number 3. Let t be the time it takes for space to expand to double its size. 46 times t equals 19 times 10 to the 18. That's equation 2. There's some calculations here that basically, you know, number of seconds in a day, in a year, simplifying, converting. And we get, in 134 billion years, the speed of light will slow down by 50%. So every 134 billion years, the speed of light is halved. The age of the universe that we know of is less than 134 billion, so let's take some smaller time periods. In 2.68 billion years, the speed of light will slow down by 1%. In 2.68 million years, it'll slow down by 0.001%. And in 2,680 years, it will slow down by 0.00001%. The speed of light is defined as 299,792,458 meters per second. 1% of that is about 3 million meters per second. 0.000001% of that is about 3 meters per second. So, in round figures, every 1,000 years, the speed of light decreases by 2.5 miles an hour. Interpretation. Einstein's theories of special and general relativity came out about 100 years ago. In that time, the speed of light has decreased by a quarter mile an hour. But Wikipedia says, since 1983, the meter has been defined in the International System of Units as the distance light travels in a vacuum in 1 over 299,792,458 of a second. This definition fixes the speed of light in a vacuum at exactly 299,792,458 meters per second. Spring and loop theory says we fix the speed of light at our peril. Since the speed of light is actually decreasing as the universe expands, then by definition, the unchanging, in quotes, meter is decreasing as well. But space is expanding. These two effects add together. But since every distance everywhere changes to the same degree, the second effect cannot be detected by us fish measuring the viscosity of water. An aside, relativity says that time slows in the presence of mass. Just prior to the Big Bang, when mass was very dense, time would have been crawling, allowing all that getting into place stuff to happen without the need for an inflation miracle. Consequences of consequences. The current definition of time, i.e. of a second, involves the number of oscillations of a cesium atom. The problem is that the number of oscillations per second changes as the spring pressure on an atom changes. So time is currently defined by something that is changing. Take your pick. Any, many, or all of these consequences could explain the kilogram getting smaller problem that was in the news recently. If it does, then mass, like distance and speed of light, is decreasing with time. In any case, spring and loop theory is certain that the speed of light is not constant, but is decreasing with time. And therefore, the speed of light must have been faster in the past, negating the need for a miraculous inflationary period just by itself. At this point, spring and loop theory says there was a bang, followed by a period of expansion that has continued right up to the present day. There's no need for an inflationary hack, because the speed of light, the limit on how fast things can get into position, was faster in the past. The more compactified the universe was, the faster the speed of light was. Shortly after the Big Bang, things got into position at up to light speed, but it was the speed of light at that time, and was essentially instant by today's standard. Spring and loop theory has reassembled the Big Bang, discarding a number of unneeded parts. Furthermore, there is no need to wonder how we could be living in a time where the expansion is accelerating. It always has been accelerating. There is no horizon problem. Spring and loop theory is not dependent on an initial explosion to cause things to move away from each other in an exponential fashion. Nor does spring and loop theory need an inflationary fudge factor to allow everything to get in place faster than light. There's also no mystery about what dark energy is. It's just that portion of the ultra-high spring energy that we cannot measure directly, due to it being off our fish measuring the properties of water scale. The truth is duller than fiction. We get what we deserve. If we insist on a supreme deity, we build our mental foundations on quicksand. If we hunger for mystery, physicists will give us wormholes. Spring and loop theory has always assumed that things are knowable and visualizable once a suitable model has been conceived, and as long as we resist the temptation to indulge in childish fantasies. Now we will see if measurements confirm it.